Okay, everybody, welcome back. For those who are first joining us, welcome for the first time. Today's class is Pirkei Avos. And again, we said that the three classes in the series at the Yangtze of Oceanside is centered around Kabbalah Torah. We just came from the Yom Tov, Avzman Matan Torasenu, the time of the giving of the Torah. We spoke together about Megillas Rus. We spoke together about Rabbi Akiva and the triumph of the human spirit. And today we're going to speak together about lessons learned from Pirkei Avos, the wisdom of our fathers. There is a custom, a widespread custom, to read one chapter of Pirkei Avos every week, beginning with the Shabbos after Pesach. Some people conclude the sixth chapter, the Shabbos prior to Shavuos. Some have a custom, like myself, to continue, I don't know if it's a custom, or I just took it upon myself, I should say, to continue reciting Pirkei Avos through the summer months. Pirkei Avos is meant to refine us, teach us, make us a receptacle that is worthy to accept the Torah in the lessons that it teaches us. So I actually want to focus on a Mishnah in chapter 5, a Mishnah in Parakeh, and that is the Mishnah that deals with the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. That's the focus of our class today. I'll just introduce you to Parak 5, Parak Hamishi, the fifth Parak. The Mishnah begins and it says, with 10 statements the world was created. Ba'asarama amaros nivra ha'olam. The world was created with 10 statements. And the Mishnah says, what do you mean 10 statements? Because does God need steps? Does God need stages? God could have created it with one statement. God could have said the world should be, or I don't know what he could have said. He could have said nothing, and the world would have been as we know it. Why didn't we need 10 statements? So the Mishnah continues, and that is to take retribution against the wicked who destroy the world that was created in 10 statements, and to give schar, to give reward to the tzaddikim who uphold the world created with 10 statements. So we first have an idea that 10 is very important. 10 is important when it comes to the creation of the world. Of course, coming off of Shavuos, 10 plays a prominent role on Zman Matan Torasenu, and it is in the Aseret HaDibros. So 10 is necessary for the creation of the world. 10 is necessary. The Aseret HaDibros hold up the world, we could say. Furthermore, Mishnah Beis, the second Mishnah in the fifth Parak, there were 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Adam was created, Eve was created, everybody was wicked before God. You come up to Noah, he's righteous. How many generations? 10. Everybody angered him, says the Mishnah, until he brought the waters of the flood, the deluge. The next Mishnah tells you, 10 generations from Noach to Avraham Avinu, to tell you how patient the Almighty is. Everybody was angering the Almighty until Avraham Avinu came along and got reward. Fourth Mishnah. So what is emerging that's very, very important here? 10. The world was created with 10 statements. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noach. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avraham Avinu. Fourth Mishnah. And this is going to be the focus of our class today. Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests. The Amad Bekulam, he stood, he withstood them all. Lodia Kamachibaso Shal Avram Avinu, to let it be known how dear, how beloved Avram Avinu is, Alav HaShalom. Very short Mishnah. 10 Nisyonos Avraham Avinu, 10 tests, 10 trials, 10 tribulations Abraham was tested with. He withstood them all to let you know how beloved he is. I just want to give you a glimpse of what comes after that. Fifth Mishnah, 10 tests, 10 trials our forefathers were given. Asar Nisim, not trials. 10 miracles were done for our forefathers in Egypt. What's that? Asar Makos. 10 on the Yam, 10 on the seashore with the splitting of the Reed Sea. 10 Makos, the Almighty brought on Mitzrayim. 10 on the sea. 10 tests, 10 trials. Our forefathers tested Kadosh Baruch Hu in the desert. We also tested Kaviyachal, the Almighty. We rebelled against him, and that was considered as if we strove against him. I'm almost finished. Not really. Not with the shiur. Just giving you a glimpse of the first Mishnayos in the fifth pair. Eighth Mishnah, 10 miracles were done for our forefathers in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah 9, 10 things were created Erev Shabbos in the twilight. So the first 9 Mishnayos of the fifth Parak really focus on, was Inyan of 10. We add into that the Aseres HaDibros, of course, and the Aseres HaDibros form the foundation of our Torah, of our Yahadus. So Rav Sa'adja Gaon teaches that all 603 other mitzvahs are derived from the 10. So 10 is very interesting here, because 10 is used, we see, to create worlds. With 10 statements, the world was created. And 10 is also used to destroy. Is that what you said? 10 is also used to destroy worlds. 10 is used to create the worlds, but it takes 10 to destroy worlds. It took 10 generations from Adam to Noah to undo the 10 stages or the 10 steps or the 10 statements of Maisa Bereshis, and the world was destroyed. Then there was a rebuilding with Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu was tested, and he rebuilt. He made himself into the person he was through 10. We make ourselves into the people we are through the 10. And the 10, of course, is the Aseres HaDibros that we just accepted. Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Shemos 24-7, Nasa V'Nishma. By the way, it's a trick to remember that. I'm not so smart. Shemos 24-7, Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Nasa V'Nishma. 24-7 we will do and we will listen to Torah. It's very easy to remember. It's a process of 10. It's fascinating to consider, let's go back a few months to the Yom Tov before Shavuos, and that's Pesach. And how many pieces of bread do we put out customarily for B'dikas Chametz? 10. Now, Chametz represents, Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov speaks about this in a Sefer Todah, others speak about Kabbalistic as well, Machshava, deep in thought. Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. What do you have to clean out on Pesach? Not only the Chametz, but you have to clean out who? You have to clean out yourself, says Kitov. That's how you do B'dikas Chametz the night before Pesach. He writes in a Sefer Todah, who has Chametz left in their house that night? What are you searching for? So he says it teaches us that if you think you finished cleaning yourself out, search again. You're going to find something else that you can work on. Perhaps the 10 represents, I was thinking, I don't know, I didn't see this anywhere, but I'm proposing our stages in life. We go through, generally, hopefully, 10 decades of life. And with each stage, we have a choice. We can create worlds, literally, or we can destroy worlds. Every person must emulate the Almighty. The Gemara says in Sota 14, Eva halachta bidrachav, you should go in his ways. Asks the Gemara, v'chi efshar lo, is it possible to go in the ways of the Esh Achla, the consuming fire? Ela leilech achar midosav, shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean to walk behind God. It means to walk in the ways of God. God creates with 10. He destroys with 10. Perhaps we can say that by accepting the 10 of Torah, the first of the three Aseres HaDibros, I am God, don't have gods of others before me, don't take the name of God in vain. Perhaps by accepting the 10 as the blueprint for our lives as we move through one decade to the next, we are faced with choices at each stage in our life. We can create with 10, and the opposite is also true. If we are not careful, we can also destroy with 10. Okay. With that as our introduction, I want to focus on the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. Asar Nisyonus Nisnasa Avraham Avinu, Alav HaShalom, with 10 tests, Abraham, our forefather, may his name be for a blessing, was tested, V'amad B'kulam, he withstood them, Alo, Dio Kamachibaso Shal Avraham Avinu, to let it be known how dear, how beloved Avraham Avinu is to the Almighty. First of all, what are the 10 tests? Okay, so I'm going to tell you according to the Bartanura, who is a classic commentator on the Mishnah. Excuse me. I believe an Italian commentator on the Mishnah, lived in the Middle Ages. The Bartanura says, what was test number one, by the way? I'm asking you. Who wants to offer? What was the
He was thrown into the furnace.
Thank you. I have a hearing loss, which I usually say right when I start teaching. So if I do not hear or do not understand, I do need assistance. Thank you for your patience. 10 trials. So what?
The Akeda.
The Akeda? That's a 10.
Here
we go. The first one is exactly what you said. The first one is the Kivshan Aish. And we are actually not told in the level of the Pshat. The Chumash never tells us. It's interesting because most people say the first one was Lach Vacha. Most people say the first test is Lach Vacha. It's the first pasuk that I learned as a child. Lach Vacha me'artcha me'ledcha me'beis avicha al'aretz asher eka. It occurs in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. That is actually the second test. The first test the Chazal teach us about, the sages enumerate for us, and that is he believed in the ways of the Almighty God. Everybody else believed in the ways of idol worship, and Nimrod threw him, the king, threw him into the fiery furnace of Ur Kasdim. So according to the Bar Tanura, that's test number one. Test number two is in the beginning of right in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. God appears to Avram, and Avram is 75 years old, and he says, "Pick up and go to a new land." So he gets to the land of Canaan. And what happens when he gets to the land of Canaan? Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz. Would you believe it? God just told me it's going to be good for me, and we should go to this new land. And then I get to the new land. There's nothing to eat in the land. So then what does he do when there's nothing to eat in the land? Vayered Avram Mitzrayim. Abram goes down to Egypt. He takes his wife Sarah, and Lot goes along, and they go down to Mitzrayim. And what happens to Sarah? She's taken by Paro. That is the fourth Nisayan, according to the Bar Tanura. The fifth is the war of the four kings and the five kings. There is a world war, if you will, during that time. Four rulers against five rulers. You have the Allies and the Axis. Is that what they were called? The Allies and the Axis. And they go to war. What does that have to do with Avraham Avinu? And the fugitive comes and tells him, your nephew Lot was captured. Okay? So he has to go to war to save his nephew. Six is the Bris Bein Habsarim, the covenant between the pieces. It was a test because the Almighty appeared to him in a very deep vision. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Ger yezarecha be'eretz lo'olam. I'm going to translate, Va'avadum ve'inu osam arba me'o shana. You should know that your children will become strangers in a strange land, and they will be oppressed and tortured and hounded for 400 years. After they'll go out with great wrath. After, I have to get through 400 years. For a parent to hear that their offspring is going to go through very terrible suffering is clearly an Nisayon. Seventh, Bris Milah, at the age of 99, the whole world said, you're crazy. And Abraham said, no, I'm not. Eight, Sarah was taken by Avimelech. After she had been taken by Paro, she was taken by Avimelech. Ninth and tenth are similar in theme. And they have to do with sending away his own children, his offspring. Garesh asa amazos v'aspina, says Sarah, send away that maidservant and her son, Yishmael. She will not inherit. My son Yitzchak will inherit. And what does the pasuk say about Avraham Avinu? I'm not talking for those of you who are familiar with Rashi over there. I'm not talking about the level of the deeper level of the drash. On the simple level of the pshat, it's very bad for Avram. Why is it very bad for Avram? The guy while comes in, any nomad who he sees, you have dust of idol worship on your feet, don't worry, come to my house. 3 days after Bris Milah, sit down, I'm going to run to get you a cup of water. His own son, he should send away. But the Almighty said, everything she tells you, whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her voice. He has to send away the child and the maidservant. And the tenth test is, okay, this Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, which is the sacrifice. God appears to him one day and says, you know the child you waited for 100 years? And I promised you, send him away. So first of all, interesting, if we know, so those are the 10 tests according to the Bar Tanura. In the Mishnah, he is called Avram Avinu. Not only in the Mishnah is he called Avraham Avinu, but he is known by all time as Avraham Avinu. Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu, but the patriarchs are known as, he's my father, down to today, thousands of years later, 4,000 years after he walked the land of Eretz Yisrael, he is still my father. So Tosfos Yom Tov explains on the Mishnah that we as his children are worthy to receive good blessings in his merit, in the merit of him withstanding his 10 tests. Okay. There is still a Shafa Bracha, there is a flow of blessing that emanates from the power of Avraham Avinu. And I recently saw Rav Soloveitchik speaks about two aspects, Eichat Tzadik Avracha, when it comes to the patriarchs. Ready? There's Bris Avos, or Brit Avot, and there's Zuchus Avos, or Zuchut Avot. What's the difference between Brit Avot, or Bris Avos, and Zuchus Avos? One is the covenant with the forefathers that God made. How do we say when we enter the child into the bris milah? Lachniso bibriso shel Avraham Avinu. God made a covenant with the forefathers. What was the covenant? This land will be for your children, and I will be for them a God, and you will burst north, south, east, west. There was a covenant made with the forefathers. And then there's the zchus avos, the merit of the forefathers. So the zchus avos is his merit in withstanding 10 tests trickles down to us. However, Rav Soloveitchik says, the zchus avos can be used up. The merit of the forefathers can be used up. How could it be used up? If we don't continue in their ways, we run out of that merit. The covenant with the forefathers can never be annulled. It was a covenant. You sign on the dotted line, you can't destroy it. However, it is our job to continue on their path to ensure that the merit is never used up. Clear? The difference between Zchus Avos and Bris Avos. Now it's interesting to note that in the Mishnah he is called Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom, depending on the which publication you look at the Mishnah, and has the words Alav HaShalom. So what do we usually say? Alav HaShalom means his memory should be for a blessing, right? But Alav HaShalom actually means unto him is peace. Interesting. Asar nisyonos nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom. So this actually translates it with 10 tests our forefather Abraham, unto him is peace, was tested. So perhaps, and I know I spoke about this a little bit in my Parsha class this week as well, when a person passes their own trials and remains a committed Jew, and it's not necessarily an easy task. It's not easy to pass your hurdles and remain a committed Jew. But when you do, it is Alav HaShalom. Unto him there is peace. What does that mean? Peace. Shleimus. Shalom is from the same root word as shleimut. Completion. There is a certain peacefulness that comes from withstanding your trials, and it leads to a person who is whole or complete, if you will. I'm just going to touch upon it because I know I spoke about it in Parsha class already, but there are three aspects to shalom or shleimus. It's not an accent, it's the same root word. Shalom means peace, shleimut means completion or wholeness. He was tested 10 times. The amad bekulam, he withstood them all. Therefore, alav hashalom. There's the inner peace. The first level of peace, the reason I spoke about it in Parsha class, for those of you who did not join me, is because this week's Parsha is Parshas Naso, and we have the Birkat Kohanim. And the Birkat Kohanim ends with the final blessing of Birkat Kohanim is V'yasem lecha shalom. Okay? What's the blessing of peace? I'm not going to be able to hear. You tell me. Oh, that we end with? Okay, very nice. Furthermore, the very last Mishnah, which I quoted in class, in Maseches Oktin, in all of six orders of Mishnah, Sisei Shudrei Mishnah, is Hashem Oza Amo Yitin, Hashem Yivarech Es Amo V'Shalom. Very nice. We generally think of peace, you know, you want to have a peaceful life with people around you. World countries should be at peace. I don't know, we're very far from that. May the Almighty save us. But the first aspect of peace is in here. The first component to being a person of shleimut, of completion, of a person at peace, is internal peace. It's bein adam la'atzmo. Between man and himself. How do we achieve that peace? One word, acceptance. By trying very hard, ve'amad bekulam, to accept what God sends my way, even though it's not easy, I can reach a point of shleimut, completion, which leads to peace. The second stage of peace, of course, is bein adam l'chaveiro, between man and fellow man. And the third stage of peace is between me and the Almighty. Although I did say, and it has to be very clear, it's like a Venn diagram. It's not like you work on one stage and neglect the other two. There is overlap as you strive to achieve the completion of peace within yourself. Simultaneously, you reach outwards towards others and upwards towards the Almighty. Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, in his Yachel Yisrael, his beautiful commentary on Pirkei Avos, writes, Avram Avinu, Remember, we're talking about the word, he's our Father. He gave us the strength to commit ourselves to passing our own trials. The points, the struggles that he wholeheartedly devoted himself to have become struggles that we can devote ourselves to. When you look at the matter of the first one, Kivshan Ha'ish, it's something that our people have faced, unfortunately, from the time that Abraham was thrown into the fiery furnace. It doesn't need so much expounding upon to understand that the trial of the Kibshan Ha'esh, the fiery furnace, has followed us through our long fate and historic destiny. The Tel Aviv shooting is the Kibshan Ha'esh, okay, Erev Yontif. The second trial was Lech Lecha. We're going to come to the other ones. We're going to come back. And if you pay attention, all of his 10 trials become our trials. But Rabbi Lau says, because he withstood them, we are able to withstand. And beautiful Sefer, Bilvavi Mishkan Ebne, building a sanctuary in the heart that Nancy and I learn together every Wednesday evening. And he says a fascinating concept. Of Itamar Schwartz, the Machaber, the author of the Sefer, says, within every person is a little bit, is a koach, is the strength of the biblical personalities. It's fascinating. So that means every person has some of the strength of Avraham Avinu. And every person has the midot of Yitzchak. And every person embodies the Torah of Yaakov. And the godless and the anivus of Moshe. Now, by the way, the flip side of that is also true. He writes in the Sefer, it means also every person has within him Korach, the Ayin Ra'ah. Bilam was the Ayin Ra, I'm sorry. Koach was the Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Every person has both components with him. So we could say we could use those components within ourselves, either to build worlds through the 10 decades of our life, or to destroy worlds. Fascinating, compelling, and moving story regarding Bris Milah, which was, again, one of his 10 tests. Which number was it? 7. 7th of his 10 tests, according to the Bar Tanura. By the way, according to other commentators, there are other ways of counting the 10 tests. For example, I saw that one of the commentators says that the 10th test was not Akedas Yitzchak, but the death of Sarah, in Parshas Chayisara, Perchav Gimel. Okay? The Bar Tanura does not hold that that's one of his tests. Perhaps, why not? Because him and Sarah lived a very long, successful, and productive life together. And though it was a loss from the time that Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, the way of the world is, Sarah was 127 years old, she had accomplished her tafkid in this world. He came, l'spol the Sarah of Kosa, he came to give a hesped, he came to cry for her. That's the way of the world. And in fact, what do we see after Sarah died? He remarried Keturah/Hagar. He did move on, he did get married again. So therefore, according to the Bar Tanura, that is not one of the tests. Okay. This story occurred over 40 years ago. It's told over by Rabbi Riskin in his book. It is a story that he encountered in 1970. It happened to him. Over 40 years ago, he was sent to Russia by the Lubavitcher Rebbe during a very dark time, and it was forbidden during that time for Jews to worship or practice any sort of Judaism at all. I think this story is compelling and important because it's about the Nisayon of Bris Milah. And for us in our day and age, we don't consider Bris Milah to be an exceptionally difficult Nisayon. Right? It's a simcha, we make a breakfast, it's exciting, the child gets a name. We don't look at it as a particularly difficult time. Okay, I'm not saying the mother's not anxious, the baby's going to be crying, somebody has to come check, fine. But we have to appreciate, or try to appreciate, that for generations and centuries, this was a tremendous Nisayon for many. Ephraim Oshri tells over in his book, The Annihilation of Lithuanian Jewry, that it was in the ghetto. And those present were the mother, the newborn baby, the mayel, and the lookout. And the mayel was ready. And the lookout said the knife was in hand, and the lookout said the Gestapo's coming. And the mother said, everyone in the room froze. And the mother was, quote, the only one in the room who had her wits about her. And she said, if my child is going to die, then let him die a Jew. Perform the Bris Milah ceremony. I was at a bris a number of years ago A child lives on my block, maybe he's 5 or 6 now, and it was Shabbos, and it was a Sephardi family, beautiful singing, and I had tears in my eyes, and the kid said, why are you crying? He said, we don't appreciate. We could come to somebody's house, celebrate Shabbos, la'achniso bevriso shel Avram Avinu, our father, what they struggled for, we can do freely. So continues the story, the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent Rabbi Riskin to Russia. It was forbidden during that time for Jews to practice Judaism at all. It was during a time when Bris Mila was a tremendous trial. One Saturday night at 2 a.m., there's a banging on the hotel room door. Rabbi Riskin is very afraid, and he opens the door. And who's there? The gabbai of the synagogue with another man. The man looked to be about in his 40s. And the gabbai said in Yiddish that this man has a son who is about to become bar mitzvah. And another son, a 2-week-old baby, and neither boys have had their bris milah. The one's about to become bar mitzvah, the one is 2 weeks old. There would be a Jewish doctor there to perform the circumcisions, but they wanted a rabbi to oversee. They didn't know how to make the brachos. Could he be the rabbi in attendance? And would he meet them at the cemetery outside of Riga at 4 o'clock in the morning? Asara nisyonus nisnasa Avram Avinu v'amam b'kulam. Just because something is not a struggle, a trial in our immediate day and age. Jewish history is long, and our foresight and our hindsight should be as far reaching as our history. Sha'al avicha v'yagadcha zakeinacha v'yomru lach. Binu shnos dar v'dar. You don't live in a vacuum if you're a Jew. What came before you? What do they have to live through? What do they have to sacrifice to uphold the 10 of the Aseres HaDibros? So he said he's a Kohen. They can't meet them in the cemetery. They could meet outside the cemetery. They agreed. We got to the outskirts of the cemetery before dawn, before even the rising of the morning star. The only anesthesia that was administered to the pre-bar mitzvah boy and the 2-week-old baby was vodka. I requested a shot as well to calm my fragile nerves. I braced myself. I said the Shema Yisrael. I recited the blessings with added kavanot, added devotion. Everything should just go well, medically and ritually. The doctor was very skilled. Both circumcisions took place quickly, efficiently, without a sound, until the end, that is. Very relieved, and with shaking legs, I recited the last blessings. First over wine, and then the blessing that gives the Jewish child his name. And then I came to the prayer of Kashem Shanichnis Labris, as he enters the covenant of our forefather Abraham, Kein Yukaine, so he should enter Torah, Chuppah, Maisim Torah, he should live a life of Torah, he should be established a Bayis Nama, B'Yisrael, and he should live a life of good deeds. The father became very agitated, the father of these boys, and he started to scream, no, no. There was hushed silence, muted blessings until this point. Suddenly, it was dangerous as the father was shouting, no, nit kishem, not just like this. I don't know why I'm doing this, said the father. I'm not even an observant Jew. I only know I want my children to be Jewish. Without being circumcised, I feel that they are lacking. They cannot be Jewish in the full sense of the word. But I don't want them to grow to Torah, chuppah, and good deeds, kishem, like this, hidden in a cemetery, afraid of the KGB. I want future occasions to be in Jerusalem publicly, without fear, with great joy. Quote, it was the most inspiring circumcision I have ever attended. And the P.S. is the circumcision of this man's grandson, the elder son's son, took place with great joy in Israel, and I was proud to attend. Avram was 99 when he had his bris milah. Thank you so much. The Ramban tells us, Nachmanides tells us, and Bereishis Perikid Beis, Pasuk Vav. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The Ramban tells us, Bereishis Perikid Beis, Pasuk Vav. Genesis 12:6, quote, Kol ma she'ira la'avos siman lebanim, or Kol ma she'ira la'avot siman lebanim. Everything, what is Bereishis? Bereishis is Sefer HaYetzirah. Right? It's the book of creation, but it's not only the creation of the world that ends after chapter 2. The world is finished being created after the beginning of chapter 2, in fact. It's the creation of the Umma Yisraelis. It's a creation of the Jewish people. It's also known as Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright, because the forefathers were straight, they were upright. The Ramban tells us, Komasha Irala Avot Siman Banim. What happened to them in the book of Bereshit is a sign for the future generations. It was the strength of Aram to commit himself to his ten tests that imbued us with the similar strength. I want to talk, we spoke about Alav HaShalom. We spoke about Aram Avinu. What does it mean that he is Avinu? I want to talk about the words of Amad Bekulam. He withstood them all. Vasara Nisnayos Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav Hashalom. The Amad Bekulam. What does it mean? It's interesting. So, if you go back to the beginning of Pirkei Avos, right, we're learning a Pirkei Avos class, even though we're focusing on one particular Mishnah in Pirkei. If you go back to the beginning, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Chapter 1, Mishnah 2, we are told, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. Amad Bekulam, Avram was able to stand in them all. Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. On three things does the world stand. Al Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasada. Torah, we know what Torah is. Avoda, Korbanos, / Tefillah, prayer. And finally, Gemilas Chasadim, Chesed. But the word Amad Bekulam brings to mind that Mishnah back in chapter 1. He withstood them all, Amad Bekulam. Three things hold up the world. So Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, so Shamshon Fal Hirsch says, what does it mean the world stands on three things? Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. What does it mean the world stands on three things? It's not that it gives stability to our world. Rather, standing means enduring through time. If we lose one of these three things, the world will not endure. It doesn't just mean the world stands on these things, it means throughout time the world endures on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim as a foundation. Whenever and wherever any of these things whenever any of these three aspects may be lacking, quote, there is a gap which cannot be fulfilled. To be a Jew means I have to be involved in Torah, not only Torah, Avoda, Tefillah, not only Torah, not only Tefillah, but also Chesed. There is a vacuum which cannot be filled if a Jew lacks in one of those areas. Those are the three things that hold up, that endure, that cause the world to be stable and continue over time, says Rav Hirsch. So I wrote in my notes, the world is upheld, exists, depends on, sustained, or made by Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, and Avraham Avinu in upholding these ideals, in living a life of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, in his adherence to these principles, in every aspect of his life, he is able to be Omeid Amad Bekulam. Understand the connection we're making here? Look up Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Bet. What does the Mishnah tell you? The world needs three things. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. What do we know about Avraham Avinu? Amad Bekulam. How was he able to withstand, perhaps, by connecting the Amad to the Omeid? We could say his adherence to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim gave him the power to withstand them all. Is everyone with me? Yeah? Questions? Comments? Okay. Now, don't be shy. Ein habayi shel lomi. Does anyone have questions? Okay. If I can't hear you, someone else will interpret, so you really shouldn't be shy. Okay? What do I want to say? Too long of an interruption for myself. I know what I want to say. It's interesting that each one of the patriarchs embraced one of these midos. Avraham Avinu was the first Jew, we would call him, right? He was the father of the Umma Yisraelis, as of Salvation. He embodied which of those principles? Which one? Chesed. Chesed? Is that what you said? Chesed. Very nice. Right? Avraham Avinu is recuperating. Right? There's three principles that hold up the world. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. And we're saying that our adherence to those three allow us to uphold ourselves when the going gets tough, which is what Avraham Avinu was able to do. But actually, each one of the forefathers, again, a Venn diagram, they each had overlap, but each one actually excelled in a specific realm. So, Avram Avinu excelled in Gemilas Chasadim. He's recuperating from his Bris Milah. God comes to do Bikachol in the beginning of Perek Yerchas, and he's having a whole conversation with the Almighty, and he lifts his eyes, and there's three men, and he runs to greet them. He is what we call the Bechinas Chasad, the epitome of a man of Chasad. However, what emerged in his son Yitzchak was what? Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. What emerged in Yitzchak? Avodah. Okay, Avodah refers to, which we don't have anymore, Karbanos, offering. Today it's Tefillah, says the Gemara. But what was Yitzchak? Kachnes binchas yichidcha sharahavtas Yitzchak v'aleu sham la'ola al-achar ha'ari mashar eka. Take your son, your only one, the one you love that you waited 100 years for. Bring him up as an offering. And they set out on the journey by Yashkem, Avram Baboker, and Yitzchak says, Ayeha Sela Ola, Father, you have the knife, you have the fire, you have the wood. What are we sacrificing over here? And the father says, Elokim Yira as Hasa, God will show us, La'ola Bini. La'ola Bini, you're the sacrifice, my son. That's the 10th test. Why, says Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau? The first one was Kivshana Eish. Avram had to give up his own life. The 10th was, he had to give up his child's life. And this is, again, unfortunately is the wrong word. I don't have the right word to describe the nisayon that has followed us through the generations of kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta v'aleihu sham la'ola. I don't have sufficient words. And there is such a gap between a person giving up his own life and giving up his child's life, God forbid lo aleinu, that they are 10 stages, 10 worlds apart. Giving up his own life, says Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, I wouldn't say it on my own. He says that's the first test, why they ascend in difficulty. He says that was a one-time event. It required one time of Mesiras Nefesh from Avraham Avinu. But living with God through your struggle, says Rav Lau, that's harder. And the hardest becomes, send away your son, and even harder than that is, offer up your son. So going back to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, Avraham Avinu was the Baal Chesed par excellence, the epitome, the master of Chesed. Hold your thought. Let me just go through the three, and then I'm going to come to you. Avodah, offering yourself up before the Ribono Shel Olam, as you self-negate, is Akedas Yitzchak. And that's Tefillah. Tefillah is humbling myself. It's realizing that I am utterly and entirely dependent on the master of the universe. Salvechuk, when he used to say vidui, he would put his machzor on the chair. I was not zochah to see such a thing, but so I read. And he would bend all the way over and complete the entire vidui in a position of total humility, utterly bent over before the Ribono Shel Olam. That's avoda. And finally, there's Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim is Avram. Avodah is Yitzchak, and the last one that holds up the world is Torah, and that corresponds to, by default, by the way, it's not hard anymore, we went through two patriarchs, two pillars, third pillar, third patriarch, Yaakov. Yaakov, Ish, Tam, Yoshev, Ohalim. Esav is an Ish Sada. He's the hunter, and Jacob is a dweller of tents. He dwelled in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. So Avram Avinu was Amad Bekulam, by holding up those three pillars of the world, he transfused to his descendants the kohos to excel in all these areas. Before I move on, there's a comment. I'm going to come to you and try to.
Okay, I'll try to speak clearly. I know that we ascribe the different midot to each of the fathers, and Abraham is always chesed. But after you explain what he went through to sacrifice his son, does anyone say that he's a voter?
And here? It's a very nice question. Thank you. The question is, there are three pillars that hold up the world, and today we're focusing on Avraham Avinu. Thank you. And Avraham Avinu, if you match up the three forefathers and the three midot that hold up the world, or inyanim that hold up the world, Abraham always goes with chesed. It's a good question. But after our learning today, which we're not finished yet, don't leave. after our learning today up to this point, is Avraham not avoda? If avoda is self-negation, I told you how salvation, so it's all said the vidui, the confession, then isn't Avram self-negating? Rav Lau says the test was harder for Avram than it was for Yitzchak, because what parent, God forbid, we should never know, can be in a situation like that. But I'm thinking, it's a very nice question. But perhaps here's the answer. Okay. What's the definition of chasad? Definition of chasad. Yeah, but he's trying to say B.
Giving up of your time.
Giving up of yourself. Not time. Not only time. Chesed means giving up of yourself for somebody else. It could be on a small scale. Could be on a big scale. Right? It could be you're going home from the grocery anyway, and someone needs a ride, so you give them a ride. So what are you giving up of yourself? You're going out of your way. Now, it could be 1 minute out of your way. It's not such a big deal. But in some way, you're giving up something of yourself for the other person. Then it could be cooking a meal for somebody who just had a baby. Let's use a positive example, not a sad, right? Then you're really giving up of yourself. Then you're giving up your time and your money. Right? Hatzalah. We'll drop everything. I've had instances, and I had needed to come to my house, to come to your house. Chesed is ultimately giving up something for somebody else. And that's really what Avraham Avinu did, vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Almighty came and said, I know you waited so long for this child, now it's time to give him up. And Avraham Avinu said, one second please, I will submit my ratzon to the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you ask a very good question, I think we can answer it. I'll just tell you something very interesting about chesed. When you do chesed, then it's supposed to be private. Okay, since we're talking about gemilas chesedim, I'll add a little PS, which is very nice. It's supposed to be private. Right? Don't go broadcasting what you did to everybody else. Then you taint your chesed with a little bit of baal gaiva, and the Gemara says about the baal gaiva, gasud haruach, kosh baruch hu, and he cannot dwell in the same universe. But my friend Rachi Fried shared something very nice with me. She said that's inherent in the word chesed. If you look at the word chesed, chas. Chas akosh baruch hu al kvod anshal brios. Chas means to have pity on somebody else. But when you pity on somebody else and you're involved in the chesed, what is samech dalet?
So.
Keep it quiet. I thought it was tremendous. Don't go tell everybody. The antithesis, all of this is amazing. First place, I'm telling it over. The antithesis of this is Anshei Sodom. I love it. I know we're a little bit on a tangent. Okay. Ra'im v'chataim la'asham ha'ma'od. They were the antithesis of chesed. We see it in their name also. Sodom. Sodom means they kept their secret. Sod, quiet. Dom, as in Vayidom Aaron, quiet. Everything in your life should be quiet in a negative way. Do you have salt? It's a secret. Can you help me out and do a chesed for me? It's a secret. You have a place for my guests to sleep in your house? I'm just going to be quiet. Okay? The antithesis of doing chesed, chasod, having mercy and keeping it quiet, is sod, keep your life private, keep it a secret, don't share what you have with anybody else, just keep quiet when it comes opportunity. Who can do the chesed? Not me. Who has extra sleeping room? Not me. You wanted to ask me something, yes? Oh? Okay.
Yes. Okay. Himself was covered.
Very nice.
So therefore, he had the only model he had was that himself went to be covered. He himself went to be the carbon.
Correct, because he was 37 years old. He himself went to be the carbon. So you're saying that's the ultimate avoda? To add another dimension to our answer. Okay, very nice. Nancy, you had a question.
Well, this always occurs to me in terms of chesed that my husband and I always talk about. If we were billionaires and we could, say, afford to donate a huge amount of money, a really huge amount of money to the shul or to another Jewish organization, we definitely want it kept a secret. And I once said to my husband, if anything, because for me, like, I don't want anything named after me. And if anything, if there was ever a name for anything that anyone said, but you have to give it a name, I would give it my grandmother's names.
Okay.
And that's what I would do. I mean,
so, chas, so, it's right there. Okay? When you have pity, keep it quiet. So then you can play devil's advocate and just think of it as we're learning. So why are Avraham Avinu's chesed publicized? The Torah publicized to teach us. Because what's the role of a parent? To teach his children. You can't keep it so quiet that your children don't know what you do. Binushnos dar vadar, the next generation has to know what to emulate. If everything is so quiet that you don't set an example, that's the opposite of positive. That is the opposite of beneficial. Okay. I'm going to talk about another inyan in regard to Avraham Avinu. Rashi teaches about Avraham Avinu, the Amad Bekulam. He withstood them all. Right? We explained a little bit about Omid, Amad, related to another Mishnah, chapter 1, Mishnah 2. I want to talk about something else about Avraham Avinu. Rashi says, Shalo hir her achar midos of Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. He didn't wonder, he didn't question the attributes, the ways, the actions of the Almighty. Perhaps the root of all tests, I'm going to repeat what I just said, which is only half a sentence. Perhaps the root of all tests is not the test itself, but to see if the person will be swayed in his faith. Avraham Avinu was able to have a strong root. That was his amuna, and therefore amad bekulam. Moshe Rabbeinu is sent to Paro, right? He doesn't want to accept his mission, finally accepts the mission. They have a whole week-long interview at the burning bush, and God says, fine, you stop arguing with me, go. So he goes to Pharaoh, and he says, let the people go. And Pharaoh says, you're lazy people. Now it's going to get worse. So Moshe looks up at the Ribbono Shel Olam, he goes back to God, and he says, what did he send me here for? Not only did the people not go free, but now it's even worse. So Hashem says, now you will see Ata Tira, now you will see what I will do to Paro. Rashi says there, now you will see what I will do to Paro. Do you know what Rashi says there? But you will not see what I will do to the seven Canaanite nations. Moses was told in Sefer Shemos, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Rashi tells us, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Now that's astonishing, because we typically associate Moses not going into Eretz Yisrael with Parshas Chukas. You didn't believe in me to make a sanctification of the divine name. You struck the rock, you screamed at the people, says Maimonides, you're not going in. It already was in God's mind from the time when Moshe questioned the Almighty that he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Someone on his level had no right, who just spent a week talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam at the burning bush, should not have questioned, why did you send me? It's even worse. God says, you'll see what I'll do to Pharaoh, but you will not see what I will do when they come in to conquer the land of Israel. And Rashi says there, not like the forefathers who never questioned me. Did you hear what I said? Not like the forefathers who did not question. Moshe says, what am I doing here? Abraham, one test after the other. Abraham's quiet. Okay, I know someone's going to ask, so I'm going to preempt it. Avraham Avinu does ask a question. What's the question?
Why are you going to destroy the city?
And he says, B'ma'ida. Avraham Avinu says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "B'ma'eda ki erishena, how will I know that I will inherit and I am going childless?" So at one point Avraham Avinu does say to God, how do I know I will inherit? He wasn't questioning the Almighty, but he was rather saying, I don't see the proof coming from within me. It's too much material. Okay, let's go on. It's too much. Avraham Avinu withstood his 10 tests because he didn't ask. God said, go to Eretz Yisrael and it will be good for you. And he gets to the land of Canaan and there's a famine in the land. When he goes down to Egypt, then Sarah's taken. When God says, send away your sons, offer them no questions. So I'm going to end with the words of Rav Soloveitchik. Says Rav Soloveitchik, quote, so Avram should have asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty, you want me to just, shall I tell you what Rav Soloveitchik says, or shall I? Okay? Okay. Avram should have asked the Almighty a very simple question. If you want me to have the land, why are the Canaanites conquering the land? Let me have the land immediately. If you want me to tell me it's going to be good for me and a blessing, why is there a famine in the land? If you tell me I'm going to have offspring, why am I offering my child? What's going on here? Reality, says Rav Soloveitchik, quote, contradicted every word. When he was told, take your son, Avram could have cross-examined, says Rav Soloveitchik, the Ribbono Shel Olam. He could have asked him many good questions. It's interesting, says the Medrash. He didn't say one word. Why? Because I don't dare ask, says Rav Soloveitchik. If I would ask, I would lose my faith. Quote, the very moment, this teaching of Rav Soloveitchik, from the time I learned it, is very impactful for me. The very moment a person begins to question, he forfeits his faith. Quote, faith means not only to believe, but not to ask questions. Now again, we're not talking, I said before, Ein habayishon lo me, does anybody have questions or comments? We're not talking about questions in order to learn. And we're not talking about the Ben HaChacham at the table who asks a question. Questions that have no answers are detrimental because they risk destroying who we are. And that is ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, where the children, the believers, the sons of believers. This is the concept, says Rav Soloveitchik, of tzidduk ha'din, dayan emes. There are many questions a person who recites the blessing of dayan ha'emes could ask. If he begins to ask, it's not tzidduk ha'din, it's a bracha levatala. When does dayan ha'emes have significance? When the person doesn't have questions. Avraham Avinu didn't ask. He went to the Akedah, and he was ready to fulfill. Adam could have asked, if you want to give me Eretz Yisrael, why give it to idolaters for a couple of hundreds of years? There's a zigzag road to redemption. That zigzag road to redemption is our zigzag road to redemption. Not only Abraham's, not only Isaac's, not only Yaakov. It's our zigzag road to redemption. Why don't you straighten it out, says Rav Soloveitchik. Quote, had Avram Avinu asked, he would have lost his singularity. He would have lost his crown. He wouldn't have become the father of the Ummah Yisraelis. He didn't say one word. Complete submission. And I do understand what you're saying because that is the definition of Avodah. But it's also perhaps, that's why he was the first, the definition of Chesed. And it's also the definition of Torah. The acceptance of Torah, we just came from the Yom Tov of Torah, is submitting what I want to what God wrote in the Torah. I want to fast for 26 hours. Okay, but sometimes the Torah says you have to. V'nisim es nafsho seichem. So perhaps that's why he is the first of the forefathers, because he embodies all three traits. And he passed those down to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, and Yaakov to the rest of the Bnei Yisrael. I want to finish with one shot, one thought. No? Just tell me. I'm not insulted. It's too long. It's unanimous? Okay. It's an unbelievable thought. We discussed so much in the Mishnah. The Asara, we discussed 10. Nisyonos, we didn't discuss Nisayon. The root word. Nisnasa Avram, we discussed Avram. Avinu, we discussed why he's our father. The Amad, we discussed Amad. The Kulam, we discussed them all. This is why he's endeared to God. It's beautiful. Thank you for learning with me. The last thing I want to analyze in the Mishnah, in 2 minutes, is the word nes, nisayon. Ba'asara nisayos, nisayonos, nisnasa, avram avinu, ba'amah ba'kulam, lo'diya kamach ibaso shal avram avinu, alavasham. We discussed alavasham, we discussed avram, we discussed avinu, we discussed amah, we discussed asara. Let's finish with what does Nisayon mean? I've been discussing it as, explaining it as a trial, a tribulation. The root word is Nes, miracle. Tzvi Meir Zilberberg writes in his Sichus Hischazkus, talks to strengthen you. I'm going to read it in the Lashon, I'm going to translate. V'alzeh mora Lashon Nisayon Nes. Nisayon is a miracle. My struggles are a miracle. I don't need the miracle so much, God. She Yehudi Yodea Sheyesh Lo Kochos Atsumim V'Niflaim. When you are tested with a Nisayon, all of a sudden you come to the realization that you have a tremendous Koch inside you that you never thought you possessed. Kochos Atsumim V'Niflaim. You could turn over. You could be someone you never thought you could be. In any nisayon, in any situation, in any time. Small one, you're going to talk to Lashon Hara. And there's a small voice inside you saying, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Sometimes you mamash say it and you think to yourself, I just told myself, don't say it. But sometimes I mamash go like this. I will muzzle my mouth when my Yetzer Hara is opposite me, says David HaMelech. You tried so many times and you weren't successful not to speak Lashon Hara. I'm using Lashon Hara as an example. It is any Nisayon. In the right time, you're going to be successful. And every time you're tested and you try to overcome, even if it looks like you didn't overcome, it causes tremendous holiness above. You'll be helped, and you will be helped, and you will overcome. Tested Abraham. What does it mean? He tested him. He gave us the capacity to be a miraculous Jew. The who klal. This is such a beautiful entire class. The who klal betocho et kol klal Yisrael. Not only was Abraham invested with the power of Nes, but he encompassed within him the entire Jewish people. Hashem took Avram out of the stars, and he says, "You will be above nature." Kol leida Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, the birth of Yitzchak, the birth of Yaakov was through a nes. He teach us this is the power of Klal Yisrael. Nes lemala midarech hateva. So we're going to end with this. A nisayon is a struggle. It could be small, what's not so small to not talk Lashon Hara, or it could be more major life event. Avram Avinu was able to pass them because he had the miraculous power that every single Jew embraces as well. And it's the power to overcome, even if I think I can't. And it's the power to maintain my belief, even when all the odds are against me. And it's the power to uphold the world in the ways of Torah, in the ways of Avodah, and finally in the ways of Gemilas Chasadim. Amad Bekulam, he withstood them all. Kosh Baruch, the Almighty should help us that when we are faced and we are tested and we don't daven to be tested. But when we are, we tap into the tremendous koach, the power and the faith of our first forefather. We too will be able to withstand them all. Amen v'amen. Does anybody have any questions before I shaf merakura?
Hashem gives us love. But why is he doing so young?
If Hashem loves us so much, why do we have nisyonos?
It's more about mitzvah.
Look what happened. Sorry. Oh, go ahead. So there's an answer. What's the answer?
Mitzvah.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Gemara gives an answer. The question is, if he loves us so much, why does he test us? Because you know the joke.
Don't love me so much. Don't give me
the sayon. I was just going to say that. You know the joke. God, don't love me so much. Okay. Because I'll tell you why. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I'm really speaking from personal experience. If you tap into the koach of nes in the nisayon, you're generally not the same person after as you were before. Even though it's very difficult. You can learn from the experience, become enriched from the experience, become deeper, maybe broken. But that brokenness is part of what makes us into the human beings that we are. Dare I say, life would be calmer if it was boring. But life would be boring if it was boring. And the nisayon, and I'm telling you from my own experience, and I've had significant things, and continue to have significant things. If you tap into the koach of nis, it changes who you are. Think of a parent who makes the child do things for themselves. I think that this is a good mashal. The parent loves the child. So the Gemara says, God loves us, so then why do we have nisyonos? So the parent says to the child, you have to do it yourself. So what does the child say? It's hard for me. I don't want to do it myself. I always want to depend on the parent. Why do we want the child to ride without training wheels? Much easier to ride the bike with training wheels. It's a great mashal. I'm just thinking of it now. It's an excellent question. Maybe the child's going to fall off the bike, scrape the knee. Maybe the child's going to break a bone, God forbid. Maybe the child will crash into another kid on the bike. It's not necessarily a pleasant learning experience. But at the end of the day, the child's going to pedal down the block by themselves. And they will have grown from the experience. And I'm not saying the process is easy. I am not saying the process is easy. But the koach of neis in every Jew leads to nisonot of love, even when they're very difficult for us. Anything else? Okay, thank you, everybody.